Some say Supermom is just a figure, but we believe she's real, and that's why we're here on the Crunchy Supermom Show talking about ways to make your vision of your Supermom self a reality, one small step at a time. Hi, I'm Sarah, a nerdy homeschooling mama of three girls, a devoted military spouse, a follower of Jesus, and a no-nonsense, natural-minded supermom.
Hey, everybody. Hope you can hear me over my pet frogs outside. It is frog season here in Louisiana. If we haven't met yet, my name's Sarah. I am Crunchy Supermom. And I wanted to start a series with you about shifting focus. So I'm going to give you seven strategies over the next 7 days on shifting your focus. And this just was something that I was inspired to share because I'm hearing so much chatter about everyone thinking about the future. Like, what's the new normal going to be? Is there ever going to be a normal? How are we feeling about things? Everyone's kind of stressed out, right? So I want to focus tonight on essentially homeschooling because I know a lot of people are already homeschooling. They had an experience with it recently. And some of you are thinking you're going to homeschool in the fall and some of you aren't sure because you're waiting for your districts to make a decision. So I wanted to start laying the foundation for helping you make those decisions because no one has ever just been, well, until this year, no one has ever just been thrown into homeschooling and without any preparation and just like, hey, let's just homeschool, like order some books, right? It is actually that simple, but I know it doesn't feel that simple because you're making the transition from a traditional setting to home. You think it has to look the same. So I want to share some ideas on that. And I made notes because I can go on and on and on about homeschooling. If you don't know this about me, I've homeschooled my three girls from the very beginning. So when our first child was born in 2008, I stumbled onto some Montessori books. And if you're not familiar with the Montessori method, Maria Montessori, they're great books for parenting, like her method, her methodology. It's great. And it's so intuitive because it talks about how children learn. And infants learn by putting things in their mouth, the oral exploration phase. And then it's amazing. I loved it. And I knew right away that I wanted to incorporate that style of play with my kids. And then when my husband started moving a lot with the military, I found myself taking my then three-year-old to a Montessori school. It was a brand new school. She had never opened. And in fact, she was too young. My daughter was too young to go, but I begged the teacher to let her go and end up being a great fit. My oldest daughter remembers this to this day. So it was a great experience. And she got so far ahead as a 3, 4, and almost 5-year-old that it just seemed like homeschooling with the Montessori method was a great thing. And we had more kids and we just kept homeschooling. And now my kids are a few grade levels ahead. And for anyone that knows us, we don't homeschool many, many hours a day. We homeschool all year so that we can take lots and lots of breaks. So we'll take a couple months off. We took about 15 months off when my third child was born. And so my oldest was about 6 and a half. And we just took a year and a half off and then we moved and we took some more time off. And it's been great for our family. And it does not look like public school. Now, I know some of you are full-time forever homeschoolers. Some of you are thinking, hey, since this pandemic is going to force me to homeschool, I'm just going to make the leap and I'm going to do it. And some of you are like, girl, I'm only going to homeschool until they open schools back up. And then I'm sending my kids there. And all of that is great. What I want to cover tonight is a couple things. First of all, you're asking everyone's opinion on curriculum. And I have to tell you that what your friend loves, even if she decorates her house the way that you do, and you guys run your dishwasher the same and you meal plan the same way, whatever curriculum she likes is not necessarily going to be the curriculum that works for you. It's just not. So everyone's opinion on curriculum really doesn't matter. What you need to understand is what the curriculum does for your family and will it fit? Okay. There's two choices you have to make right away. Do you want to use online school, online curriculum, or do you want to use traditional like books and tangible things? Okay. You have to make those decisions. Sure. You can find games galore. And I really recommend Common Sense Media. and I'll put that in here, Common Sense Media for checking out the ratings on things to see if they're high quality and whatnot, because sometimes a really popular app is actually not appropriate for kids. So you decide if you want to do online learning or if you want to do traditional books and things like that. The second decision you need to make is, do you need a complete curriculum or do you want mixed? Now, I understand the appeal of just buying like all the subjects that come with one brand. It comes in a box and it's so much fun to open, but it is the worst feeling when you start doing it and you hate parts of it, because now you've committed, you've bought the entire package and now you feel like you have to use it all. That's not what any brand new homeschooler should do. I'm just going to tell you, you don't want to buy all subjects in one big package. It's rarely ever have I met someone who said that they went the entire year and they love the whole thing. Okay. People usually pick and choose parts of it. Very rarely will you find a homeschooler say that they have used the same brand of homeschooling for all the subjects and they stay with it. And there's a lot of reasons for it. Some of it's your kid and their style, and some of it's your availability. If you have to sit down and give the lessons for everything, you can't do that for multiple levels of kids. You just can't. Some of the stuff has to be simple enough that you watch a video lesson together for math, or like an audio lesson, and then your child can do the lessons kind of on their own, like while you're sitting there for support, but you can be reading a book to another child. Otherwise, if you have to sit down and do every lesson with every kid for every subject and you have multiple kids, yeah, that's kind of crazy. And so be careful of that, okay? So I personally prefer a mixed route. I know that really means that you have to do more research, but I just think if you're a brand new homeschooler, a mixed route is just a better way to go. But here's the good news. The good news is that history and science can pretty much be done as a family. Your high schooler can do extra work with the same science material that you're covering for your second grader, first grader, kindergartner. Your preschooler can listen to that because you're reading. And so some of my favorite sciences are book specific, not so much textbook. I mean, you can give your high schooler, junior high child a textbook and have them do some assignments out of it. But a lot of the great curriculum that are out there have reading books that go along with it. Sunlight Science, that's a Christian version, and it's spelled S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T. So Sunlight Science is one of those ones that it just has storybooks and a little bit of like science textbook and then some videos and hands-on experiments. But the secular version of Sunlight is Bookshark. And so I really like both of those. They're sister companies, so it's pretty much the same. It's just secular or Christian. And it comes in a kit and you can do experiments. And I feel like that would fit pretty much any family because it's just some books to read and some experiments. And the little tools to do the experiments comes in a box. So everything you need for the science comes there. So you can do Sunlight Science or Bookshark Science and your whole family can participate. And you can do some extra level, like harder level stuff for the older kids, with minimal work and minimal time spent on your part because it's open and go, okay? The other subject that all kids, the whole family can do together is history. History, you'll remember textbooks from your K-12 experience. There are so many curricula out there that aren't textbook heavy, and they're beautiful and amazing and so, so, so much fun. And I'm going to suggest Bookshark and Sunlight again because it's basically open and go again, but it gives you a huge pile of books to read. And one of the things I want to, like an example I would give is this. We were studying George Washington, and so we were reading about the historical times surrounding George Washington's reign as president. And then we read a book, a storybook about his childhood, and we learned how he came to be and how he was very frugal and he ate potatoes and like bread, and he was kind of beat by the person that he worked with, I think was his brother. Anyway, we were reading a story that was historically accurate, but it was considered fiction because it was written in the story way, but the kids loved it and they layered that learning and it was just fabulous. The kids love it. It's one of those things that they still talk about. So I like that. And you can do that for all levels. Then you need math and language arts per the child. And I wouldn't start this until kindergarten or higher. Your preschooler doesn't need a curriculum. Your preschooler does not need a curriculum. And I'll argue that until I'm blue in the face, because it's playtime, it's activity time, it's spending time with you, and you can do puzzles, you can read aloud, you can do some phonics work, but they don't need a curriculum like Hooked on Phonics and all those things as a preschooler. It's just not necessary. Preschool was honestly, it's invented for people who work full time and they have no place to put their kids, and they wanted to put children into a program that would prepare them for kindergarten, because a lot of kids at home don't have the support that they need to learn how to read on their own at home. So that's what preschool is about. You don't need your preschooler to do those activities. Okay. So enjoy the time and take a load off of you and having to do that. So for math and language arts, you would pick by grade level. Now what we use, again, it might not work for you. And some of the things that we've tried, we have The Good and the Beautiful, we have Math UC, and we have Horizon Math, and we've experimented with a couple others that I wouldn't really recommend just because they're really intense and they require a lot of parent help. So math and language arts per level. If you have any questions and you want to look at some of my math and stuff like that, I'm happy to share. I'm thinking about sharing in the group, going live and kind of sharing that stuff. The other thing I want to tell you that might be comforting, or should be comforting, is that you do not need to spend as much time doing homeschool as your kids are in school normally. Okay. That is crazy. Our family does school from 9 or 9:30 every day until 11 or 11:30 every day. And then we meet again in the afternoon around 3-ish for like an hour, hour and a half to do any makeup reading that we need to do for history. Cause the history that we do is, it's a lot of reading, and all three of my kids take turns reading out loud. So a 6-year-old reading a big history book takes a while, and they do art a couple times a week, and they practice their piano. So we really don't do more than 3 hours of school a day. Sometimes we'll do more if we're really into an art project. And again, my kids are 11, 9, and 6, and they're all ahead for their age. And we don't do school 5 days a week usually. And we take a lot of time off when the weather is great, and we travel whenever we can, which isn't a lot right now. So that should also help you if you're working from home. Now, choosing a curriculum is not the key to your success. It is absolutely not the key to your success. The key to your success is how you structure your day. How do you fit school in? How do you reward them for paying attention and doing the schoolwork? Because your kids don't have to sit down to learn. In fact, it's better if they don't. Your kids are more likely to cooperate when they get to be fidgety and moving around. In a public school setting, when you have 15 or 20 or 30 kids sitting and they're all fidgety, it just makes other kids fidgety and it's distracting. But when you're in your home, I encourage you not to require them to sit down and be quiet. I mean, they can't be like yelling and everything. You need to be able to hear, but they can just kind of be themselves. Because one of my kids, if she can play with putty, or she can stand up, or she can kind of move side to side, like by sitting in her chair funny or sitting on a cushion, she's more likely to pay attention, and she hears everything as long as she's able to move and kind of keep her body in motion the way that she wants. So I feel like public school has taken that away from, or any school setting has taken that away from kids. But the problem that you're going to run into is the way you structure your day. It's not the curriculum. There's plenty of boring curriculum. There's plenty that are too challenging, too easy, too slow, too whatever, too parent intensive. That is not going to make or break your homeschool year. How you structure your day is what's going to make or break it for you. So it's really important that you do that. Now, the reason why I'm cautioning you against taking your friends' opinions and just going out and buying curriculum is that most homeschool parents change curriculum at least 1 to 2 times, the ones who are full-timers. So can you imagine if you took all your money and you went out and you bought like a curriculum based on your friend that you love how she decorates her house and you love everything about how she runs her life? So of course you're going to love her homeschool curriculum. You go buy it and you hate it. There's not really an easy way to return it. You can always resell it, but you're not going to get your money back. And then what? So I really invite you to consider the basics. Okay. Your kids need to read books. Get a bunch of books, read books. Sunlight and Bookshark, if you go to their website, you can actually get a whole list of books to read to cover like world history, American history. You can find them on Kindle. You can find them on Amazon. You can get them at the library, or you can buy them from Sunlight if you want to buy the whole program. You can do just books, just read books. And then you can pick out a simple math for kids. Like, you could even do those little summer workbooks that people are selling right now. It's just about keeping them up with their basic math and doing reading out loud. And you can always do handwriting, have them write letters to people. That's great handwriting practice. Copywriting is great. And then as far as reading, you can pick up a simple program, like a book and a workbook. It doesn't have to be a ginormous thing, because the final point that I want to tell you is that you need to be able to consistently do it most of the days that you're going to sit down and homeschool. Because if you try to do it and it fails, because you will fail, there will be days that your kids just are not going to cooperate. You just fighting them is not what you want to do. Okay. I mean, they need to cooperate, but I'm just saying you don't want to pressure them to sit down and do school. It needs to be fun, because that is the whole purpose in learning, is you want your kids to love learning and seek that information out on their own. You don't want to be like, you're going to sit down and you're going to do this worksheet. Instead, structure your day in a way that there's a reward at the end of it. And I'm going to talk more about that in a different one of these series that I'm doing here for you guys. I'm going to talk about that more later. But as far as discipline and getting kids to cooperate, it's all about structure of your day. It has nothing to do with the curriculum, has nothing to do with how fun the books are that you're doing, has nothing to do with your expectations, and everything to do with how you set up your day. So I hope this is helpful. The biggest takeaway that you should have is to start simple. Math and language arts, like just helping your kids read, like keeping up with it, get a book list, get a reading suggestion guide, and just get those books and have your kid read out loud for like 10 to 20 minutes a day, depending on their age, and have them read to themselves. Have them write a book report on that, okay? You can go to teacherspayteachers.com and you can print out like book studies, and you can have them read a really good book and write a study. And that is so much. It's so much learning in that one activity. And then math. And then your whole family can read science and history together. And that should really reduce how much time you're spending having to sit down and teach them, okay? I know that was a lot. And this is just like strategy number one for shifting your focus and preparing for the new normal that you're going to be in control of. So I hope this was helpful. If you have questions, you know where to find me.